Thought for today. Children reflect their parents' goodness. Children reflect their parents' goodness. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Children reflect their parents' goodness. Now, think about that. Think about that. How many children have you met? Lots of them. And what kind of children have you met? Lots of them. No, no. What kind of children did you meet? Lots of them. You're not about to stick your foot in your mouth, are you? You met a lot of nice children and a lot of children who had problems too. But basically, you met the nice children. Why do we meet nice children? Anybody got the answer?
Because we are nice.
Exactly. We meet the same kind of children that we are. If we are nice people, we meet nice people. If we are not nice people, we meet some not nice children. So, think about that. Think about that in your life experience. Think about that in the many things that have happened in your life. How many times have you met not nice children? Well, I don't believe I've ever met any not nice children. I believe that I have met some children who have been misdirected, but they were not nice. They were very wonderful, or else they wouldn't have been in my life. And they wouldn't be in your life if they're not wonderful. But think about it. Children reflect their parents' goodness. Let's take that a step further. How many parents do you run around with who are not good? Not too many, if any. How many parents do you know that you would classify or categorize as not good? Think about that. You do not choose to have adults in your world who are not good. You choose to have adults in your world that are harmonious and charming and delightful and enjoyable in every way. Now, when you have an adult in your life who is confused, who's having mental aberrations, mental problems, who is sort of misdirected as to what their goal is in life, they think they have to take care of the world, which is not a negative thing, but it's not very positive for the person involved. People who think they have to take care of the rest of the world are in trouble. We talked about Roger the other day and how his son is married and has a child and is out of a job. And so Roger, from his very limited income and from borrowing from friends, sent money to Roger Jr. so he could pay his rent. And now the rent is 3 months in arrear and still not paid, and there's no way Roger can do this. So I wrote Roger and I said, Roger, you cannot help somebody who has a mental problem. And your son has a mental problem. His mental problem is, I do not have enough money to pay my rent. That's a mental problem, isn't it? Can you say, I am independently wealthy, I have sufficient money to pay my rent, to do all the things I want to do? Can you say that? Yes, you can. But what do we go around saying? We've got to be honest. We got to say, we don't have enough to pay the rent. We have to say, we don't have enough. Maybe she or they will give us some money to pay the rent, and then we'll have enough to pay the rent. First, you have to have in your consciousness the truth about yourself. You're independently wealthy. You have sufficient money for all the things you want to do. When you have that attitude in your mind, the money is there. I guarantee you. When you have the attitude in mind, the money is there. When you have the attitude in mind, I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. My body is whole and perfect right now. When you have that attitude, you may have to get enthusiastic about saying it, but when you have that attitude, the wholeness and perfection are right there. Right there. All you have to do is claim it and look at it and see it. You see, we've been brought up by our parents to be honest. To be honest to appearances. If you don't look nice, you just say, I'm not a nice looking person. But that's not the truth. There are a lot of nice looking persons who look nicer, nicer than nice looking persons. You know what I mean? There are a lot of people in this world who would never win a beauty contest, but whose beauty shines forth more gloriously than any person who ever might win a beauty contest. Whether they're nice or not, doesn't matter. But no matter what, beauty is from within. You take a lot of children who have problems, and I mean physical problems or mental problems or whatever. If they like themselves, you don't even notice their problems. Remember the story of Scrooge and the Christmas Carol, and Davy Crockett, or whatever his name was. What was his first name?
Bob Cratchit.
The baby, the boy.
Timmy
Crockett. Timmy was the life of the family. Timmy was always saying, come on, let's do this, let's do that, let's go here, let's play this. And Timmy was missing a leg or something. He had to be on a crutch, and he was not very well. But he was always up there bouncing. The life of the story, the life of the whole thing, Timmy Crockett. Yeah. And who thinks about his leg? Mr. Scrooge finally thought about his leg and decided to come over and help the family out. But Bob Cratchit, who is the father, he worked at his recording studio where he wrote down all of the figures for the boss. And he had to work with candlelight, and he had to keep the little finger gloves on so his hands would stay warm even though the tips would go out so he could write. It's cold. Now, you think you got it bad sometimes. You should live in those days. They really had it bad. One coal to keep an entire office warm, you know. What a joke. But enough of that nonsense. It's not what you got, the problems that you got, that make you who you are. You are who you are from right down inside. And you are often who you are because you're a reflection of your parents. Many parents do not have tremendous wealth to live by, and yet you would never know it. These parents teach their children something that is very important. When you buy clothing, buy quality clothing. It lasts many, many times longer than cheap stuff that you buy and wear out and buy and wear out and buy and wear out. Buy quality clothing. Oh, gee, I don't remember people saying that who had no great amount of money. Yes? Mm-hmm. Buy quality clothing. And if you're going to eat food, eat quality food. Don't eat junk food. Junk food does not nurture the body. It does not nourish the body. It does not help the body. So these parents teach their children to eat good foods that are nourishing and strong. Junk foods make for sick bodies. Junk food makes for mental upsets. Junk food makes for the whole world just to be crazy. I'm telling you true. If you will just eat good foods, well-made, well-designed, you will not put excessive salt, excessive whatever other things they have in junk food that makes them so delicious. Sugar, I guess, is another thing. You will not have excessive of those things, and you will live a happy, healthy life. Our body asks for things, and we give it junk food, and it gets it. And it craves more. But be very careful. Good parents train their children in quality. Good parents spend time with their children. Thereby, their children will spend time with their children who will spend time with their children. Good parents are the ones who love themselves, who may have come from a very noble family, and they don't forget that. They live in nobility even in limited circumstances. The difference between a quality person and a non-quality person, oftentimes, is their bringing up, how their parents lived and brought them up. You can live in destitution, in absolute poverty, and still hold your head up high and walk with pride and dignity. You might starve to death, but that's all right. You have lived your life with proudness. You have lived your life delighting in yourself, being happy with yourself. Now, you don't have to starve, okay? You don't have to be limited. There are always ways you can help yourself, always. Roger told us his son lost his job. Well, go get unemployment. Unemployment insurance that every company has to have for their employees. If you're out of work, you get unemployment insurance. And you get enough insurance usually for about maybe two-thirds, a third, or whatever it is of your wage. And that would certainly be a big help, wouldn't it? Plus, you could go to the Salvation Army. You could go to the church. You could go to organizations that help people out when they're down now, but they're not willing to give up. You see, when people are willing to give up, they don't go to those places. Because those places say, have you tried to get a job? Have you looked to help yourself? And of course, street people have to say, no, I haven't. I like being a street person. I like pushing my buggy around and picking up junk here and there and surviving. I just like that. And that's okay. If that's what you like, go for it. What kind of parents did they have? Oh, they were rich parents, or they were poor parents, or they were this. No. They were parents who did not respect each other or themselves. And they didn't instill in their children a respect for this temple of the living God. You see, children reflect their parents' goodness. It always is that way. It always will be that way. What do you reflect about your parents? I asked Ingeborg about her family, and she was not too colorful in describing them to me. I asked Ellen about her family, and she was not too colorful in describing them to me. She said they demanded this and demanded that and demanded the other thing, but I didn't hear her say, they love me absolutely. I didn't hear her say, they loved us and they did their very best to see that we live on a very high standard of internal attitude about ourselves. Not that they were bad. You see, it's rare to have parents who like themselves so much and they're able to translate this to their children. It doesn't mean they're rich or poor. Parents of the most limited circumstance can have the most nobility. And their children can be the most noble and glorious people. People of average circumstances, which most families are. You have average looking down and the average looking up. What average are you aware of in your life? The average looking down where, oh, we're never making it. Everybody else has more than we have. I wish I were a rich man. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I wish I were a rich man. And but why? What would you do if you were a rich man that you can't do right now as the person you are? You see, when we come from a family where our parents' goodness shines forth in us, we believe in ourselves. We like ourselves. We enjoy ourselves. See, Ellen came from a nice family, but Ellen didn't believe in herself. She didn't like herself. She was taught that she shouldn't spend money. She was taught that she wasn't worth it. And only after she got rid of these blocks did she find out she's worth it. Only when she dumped the garbage, which included her husband, did she find out that she was worth it. Even her husband tried to get her to spend money and you know, do these things. But her husband didn't think she had the brains to understand all the things he was doing. And so he never included her in his business activity of being a financial counselor. She could have been, you know what would happen if he had done that? Mm-hmm. He would have been a supreme success. Look what she has done with the organization here. She has managed this thing in the beginning on nothing and later on a lot. She managed it very beautifully, but only because of that which was deep within her. If her parents had let this out, wow, she could have handled the bookkeeping for her father. And she could have said, Dad, sell more of this here and a little less of this here. Do this here. Boom. He did very well, but not as well as he could have with someone with Ellen's organizational ability, with her management ability. But you see, these are sometimes things that are sort of asleep in us. And the goodness of parents encourage children to do all the things that they have the capacity to do. Not just what the parents have the capacity to do or expect them to do, but they encourage that in them. They have the kids go to what you call these counseling groups in school, where you learn aptitude testing, where you learn what your aptitudes are. Most people don't have a job based on their aptitude. They have a job based upon availability. The jobs are available. The factory is there. They're hiring people. You go to work. John and George over here, two crazy guys, they went to work for the gambling casino out here. And after George was there for a short time, they said, George, you should not be on the gambling table. You should be running your shift. You have more talent than just, you know, taking care of the chips. You should be running your shift. You should be organizing your shift. You should be taking care. You're a supervisor. You see, they caught right on to his talent. Not because he displayed it, you know, obnoxiously, but because he is an organizer. He is a manager. He is a supervisor, talented being. You see, when this comes out, even if you had no plans to do something with it, when it comes out, everything works out for you. See, George and John didn't need more money. They had enough money coming in from their games, and they didn't need more work. That's what George was trying to shy away from, being a boss and having responsibility and stuff. He just wanted to be a dealer. And they wouldn't let him because they saw his great talent. And really, he's much happier playing with his talent than he would be in not playing with it. Because we never really are content until we are pushed, if you might say, if we're drawn, if we are flowing with the best that's within us. Children reflect their parents' goodness. You reflect your parents' goodness. We all reflect our parents' goodness. Now, what sort of goodness are you reflecting in your life? What sort of attitude are you reflecting in your world? What sort of things are you reflecting that are important to you? Are you reflecting your father's limitations or his magnificence? Are you reflecting your mother's genius or her bitchiness? You know, maybe she was never bitchy, so why are you saying that? Well, what are you reflecting? What are you reflecting from your family? Are you reflecting, now, children reflect their parents' goodness. Are you reflecting your brothers and sisters and their attitudes? Because that's the parents too. The parents trained your brothers and sisters to be who they are. And are you reflecting that? What is it we admire in a family? We admire a family where the mother and father respect and love themselves, number one. They respect and love each other, number two. They respect and love their children, number three. And they respect and love, perhaps this is first, maybe it's last, they respect and love their world. They are happy where they are, and always they are ready to rise if the occasion comes about. But they're not spending all their time climbing up the ladder, trying to get higher, chopping over other people, belittling other people, talking people down. They're looking at life for the goodness and the beauty in it. And this is really the way we want to live our lives. We want to live our lives from our highest. We want to be our personal best. That's a new phrase that has come out since the Olympics have been around. Be your personal best. That's a very, very excellent term, too. You're not in competition with somebody else. You're not in competition with yourself. Well, be your personal best, you're in competition with yourself. No. You're not in competition. You're being your personal best. It's not that something else is less than your best. If you can see where, hey, I'd like to do that, that's your personal best. It's not that you weren't doing it or couldn't do it, but that's your personal best. Rise always to your personal best, but not up above something else. Of course, to rise means you're going above something else. But it's not by comparison, because if you are your personal best at any time, by rising over something else, then what you're doing is you're limiting yourself. You're limiting yourself to whatever you had done before because you're better than that. Don't ever limit yourself to what you have done before because you don't know the magic out there. You don't know the wonder that is going to come up. You don't know what mountains there are to climb, what rockets there are to fly. You don't know what glorious universes there are to explore and what your role will be in. Well, I've never studied astrophysics. I've never done this. It doesn't matter. With a click, you could be an astrophysicist. With a click, you don't have to be an astrophysicist. You could be out in space. And you could be having a ball. And you can be studying space right close up from inside your own consciousness. Nice, huh? You can be there. You can have all the instrumentation, which is in you, to record whatever it is you want to record. The temperature, the types of minerals and proteins that are evident in that environment, and stuff like that. Hey, cool. You come back to Earth, and you say, hey, naturally, NASA would just open the door and say, come on in, you know. And you'd say, yep, I've done some research for you. See if this checks out. So they take the information from you, and they check it out, and they say, this is more definitive than anything we have. Yes, that's understandable. Where'd you get it? I have my sources. Oh, come on, tell me. Under one circumstance, we go in the other room. Come on, privately. Come with me in the bathroom. Yeah. What kind of kook is this, you know? Okay, now take my hand. What's this? Take my hand. Okay, now, here we are. See, here are the planets. Here are the stars. Here's this here. See, and because inside of me I can take these really. Hey, I can too. I can too. Yeah, that's true. You just never did it before. Can I snap my finger and be here too? You did. Yes, you can. But be careful. As you were suspect of me, others will be suspect of you. So you must say, this is a theory that I have of that experience out there. Now let's see if my theory bears itself out, which of course it will. But if you try to tell them that that's what you did, you'd have to take all of them, hold by the hands in the bathroom, and snap your finger, and toodaloo up there. You see, be an unimaginable dreamer, because you have no idea, and you can't do that. You can snap your finger, and you can be out in space, and you can do research if that pleases you. And you can have access to NASA and other places. They will at least accept you. They don't know why they're accepting you, but they're accepting you because you have chosen to be accepted. And so you go in and you give them your theory. And they say, hey, this is a more definitive theory than we've ever had before. How did you come to this conclusion? I listened within. Well, great, you know. Theorists often listen within. In fact, most of the time they do. But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? When parents encourage their children to be their personal best, whatever that may be, because they have first encouraged themselves to be their personal best. When parents encourage children to hear the voices of people who are not there, of the little children who are not there, and understand it, and excite themselves with it, not saying it isn't so, you understand? Not denying it, but just saying, hey, that's very interesting, very good. Then the children will tune in to this altered dimension. They'll tune in to this otherness, which is the allness, or part of it at least. And they'll become aware of more of the allness. But that happens when their parents encourage them to be themselves. So, children reflect their parents' goodness. When the parents are not afraid of themselves, they're not afraid. What would the neighbors say if you were talking to yourself? What would the neighbors say if you were talking to little people who are not here? They say, well, that's a kid. He'll get over it. It won't be long, and he'll be on his feet. You know, she'll come to her senses sooner or later. And sure enough, you come to your senses sooner or later by forgetting it, by letting it go by. You come to your senses sooner or later that this dignity and this nobility that your parents had was just a joke. You gotta get out there and work for your living. You gotta get out there and slave for your living. You gotta put your overalls on and really get out there and work. There are no free rides. There is no free dinners anymore. You got to get out there and work. You see, this sort of a stoicism, this mental attitude of limitation that we have for ourselves, it's so silly. It's so silly. Because we don't have to say, you have to do this. I teach, speak your word. And the infinite resources of the universe, which are yours, are revealed to you. I say, speak your word and you're independently wealthy. And the rest of you, ha ha ha, Herb says I'm independently wealthy. He doesn't know how many debts I got. He doesn't know I haven't got a thing. I know all about you. I know all about me. And I know that if I am independently wealthy in your eyes, you're not going to be bothering to be independently wealthy yourself. That's just the way it is. If your daddy is rich, you're not going to work. You know that. If your daddy is rich, your business in life is just to spend his money. Not to be creative, to be imaginative, to reach out to horizons that have never been dreamt of by man before. If dreamt, not carried through. Are you ready to be the glory that you are? Children reflect their parents' goodness. Man, I must have wonderful parents. I do. And so do you. You have wonderful parents because you are wonderful. You have wonderful parents because you brought yourself to this point in time. At whatever age you are. With the stick-to-itiveness to see it complete. To see it complete, so that when you leave here, which most of you will, so that when you leave here, you will live as a master. You will be independently wealthy for yourself. You will have a perfect temple of the living God in which you live, etc. Now, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty nice. But you won't have that if you don't dream. You won't have that if you're not your personal best. You won't have that if you belittle your heritage. Now, I belittled Ellen's heritage just a little bit. Not to belittle it, but to show that Ellen, even though she had this background, which was considered by most people a good background, was nothing. Was nothing compared to where she's going. She will carry with her much of the nobility of her parents and her family and her world, but that will only be the springboard from which she dives into the allness, and the springboard from which you dive into the allness. Children reflect their parents' goodness. Can we begin to look at children and understand what that goodness is? Children reflect their parents' goodness. And that's all good and very good. I love you.